Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
Donald John Trump be, and he is hereby, acquitted of the charges.
The American people can read the transcript.
My vote is an act of conviction.
I disagree with him, but I can't tell you I was totally surprised.
I know they call me middle class Joe.
The whole thing is a joke.
She embarrassed herself.
Yes, indeed. Hey, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy Acquitted Forever Day. That's what I'm going to call it from this point forward.
Where's your
he
hat?
He will forever
and your t-shirt.
Be acquitted.
That's actually trending on Twitter, so I think a lot of people are calling it that today.
I have the picture of the hat. I just don't have the actual hat. But I did love what the president pointed out yesterday about Mitt Romney after he came out and announced that he had to follow his deep faith and find the president guilty. Which he was the only Republican to do that, oddly enough. And the president pointed out, if Mitt Romney had devoted the same energy and anger to defeating Barack Obama as he sanctimoniously does to me, he could have won the election. Boy, that's the truth. Didn't you walk away from 2012 feeling the same way? He had no passion then, and suddenly he's found some. Just amazing to me. Happy Thursday to you. You know what we've got coming up? Speaking of Mittens Romney, we've got Chris Wallace, who did the very first and only exclusive interview with Mittens before he went to the floor of the Senate to announce his decision. So we'll pick Chris's brain on what that was all about coming up here. And there's a lot of talk this morning about what the president's going to say today when he speaks, right? He's going to speak at the White House at 11. We're going to carry that live for you. Right now, he is stepping to the podium at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. And it's going to be interesting to find out if he mentions anything at all about impeachment or anything there. Can we bring this up live for a minute? Let's do that. Here's the president of the United States. Clearly still getting a good round of applause there. Let's see what he says this morning. Here we go.
You
think he's reveling in the standing ovation? I think maybe he is. I don't see Nancy Pelosi there.
Senator Hawley's there. He was going to be on with us today, but he had to do this breakfast.
Ah, okay. Is that
wow,
Nancy
her.
Pelosi? That is her, isn't it? She's clapping.
She's
not ripping up any paper. She's clapping.
Talladega Nights guy. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Well, thank you very much. I'm working very hard for you, I will tell you. And sometimes you don't make it easy, and I certainly don't make it easy on you. And I will continue that tradition, if I might, this morning. And Arthur, I don't know if I agree with you. But I don't know if Arthur's going to like what I'm going to say.
Just warning you now.
But I love listening to you. It's really great. Thank you very much. And thank you, Congressman, for the great job you've been doing and the relationship and the help. You're a warrior. Thank you very much. And Kevin, you're a warrior. Thank you. Job you've done is incredible.
He sounds a little hoarse, doesn't he?
It wasn't supposed to be that way.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's been talking
a lot
lately. A lot
of extra work, unnecessary work. It's wonderful to be with the thousands of religious believers for the 68th annual National Prayer Breakfast.
I've been here like literally everybody else in the country right now.
The first one where I had the privilege of being asked. I've been with you for a long time before that. And we've made tremendous progress. You know what we've done? I don't think anybody's done more than all of us together during this last 3 years. And it's been my honor. But this morning we come together as one nation blessed to live in freedom and grateful to worship in peace. As everybody knows, my family, our great country, and your president have been put through a terrible ordeal by some very dishonest and corrupt people. They have done everything possible to destroy us, and by so doing, very badly hurt our nation. They know what they are doing is wrong, but they put themselves far ahead of our great country. Weeks ago and again yesterday, courageous Republican politicians and leaders had the wisdom, fortitude, and strength to do what everyone knows was right. I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong. Nor do I like people who say, I pray for you, when they know that that's not so.
You don't think he's talking about anybody specifically,
so many people.
He's talking about Nancy Pelosi, who's sitting immediately to his left.
We can't let that go on.
Yes.
And I'll be discussing that a little bit later at the White House. We're joined today by
so
two people.
That's the president. You just heard him. Honestly, I'm looking at the picture here. It's the president of the United States at the podium at this prayer breakfast. There are one, two, three, four people to his immediate left, including Mike Pence, and then Nancy Pelosi, who he clearly was referring to and said there are people who claim they pray for you when you know that's not the case, and people who blame their faith on their decisions, and that was Romney reference.
Yeah.
So he's not holding back anything this morning. It'll be interesting to hear if he goes into any more detail during his speech this morning. We're monitoring it. I've got the Z-Man out there monitoring it, so I'll bring that to you if it happens. Coming up next, you know, at his State of the Union, the president talked about parental leave. I'm not on board with that. Rachel Gresler from the Heritage Foundation, she's an expert in healthcare policy. I'm going to get her on here next, or we're going to debate it when we come right back. Stick around.
We are upholding the sanctity of life. Sanctity of life.
That's the president at the National Prayer Breakfast speaking right now, getting lots of applause. And, you know, the other night at the State of the Union address, one of the things he brought up was a program he wants to see Congress take on, and that is paid family leave. Good idea, bad idea. I think if it's forced on private companies, it's a bad idea, but I wanted to get a second opinion on that. So I've invited Rachel Gresler to join us this morning. She's a research fellow in economics and budgets and entitlements up at Heritage, and I always appreciate having her on here. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, I'm not on board with this. I know that it's something Ivanka Trump has been pushing, and I'm not sure the government needs to be forcing this on private companies. What's your take on it?
Well, I'm with you, Mark. And I think that's a great thing when companies offer paid family leave and we want workers to have access to it. But it's not a great thing when the government forces a one-size-fits-all rigid and impersonal policy on workers. It's going to end up not benefiting the people that we're trying to help. And it's going to have a lot more costs and consequences if it comes from that one government program instead of letting workers and employers work together to have more flexible and accommodating policies.
Yeah, well, you know, we got the Family Medical Leave Act. I mean, people can utilize that if they need to take
12 weeks off for some reason, they're just not going to get a paycheck in return. And again, you know, I've heard Ann Wagner, who's our local congressman here in District 2, she's been pushing a plan that would tap into Social Security benefits to pay for this. And I'm not sure I'm on board with that either.
Yeah, well, starting first with, you know, the number of people that have access to this, there are a growing number of companies that are providing paid family leave in the U.S., and it's extending to the lower wage workers who previously didn't have it. And so there's companies like Starbucks, Lowe's, Walmart, Target that have all come out with new policies since the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was announced. And so we're already seeing that extension, but you also will hear that only 20% of people have access to this leave, and it's just not the case. That's a very narrow measure. And when you survey people, you show that at least two-thirds of those who are taking leave are receiving some pay for it, and that figure is growing. So I think now is not the time to have a government program. And in talking about the Social Security proposal that some conservatives do support, that's not the reason that we implemented Social Security. You know, there's a problem when you start expanding programs, and Social Security and Medicare and others have already expanded well beyond their original intent. It's supposed to be an old age program for people who are no longer able to work, and instead we're going to give it to people in their earliest years. You make the program harder to reform going forward, which we need to do because it's already bankrupt. But you also change the nature of it, and it's essentially a government loan, and the government should not be in the business of loans. But there are plenty of proposals that conservatives can support that won't involve a new government entitlement.
Yeah, that's true, and I want to get into those, but I will point out, as you mentioned, just for people that haven't heard the program that at least I know Ann Wagner was talking about, and we've invited her on the show to talk about it at some more length, is the fact that you would take time off, receive a paycheck that's supposed to be coming from your future Social Security benefits, which would then be reduced at some point down the road when you're finally old enough to take them. If you believe that, I've got some swampland in Florida I'll sell you that's beachfront, because you got 50 Congresses between now and then that are going to change that long before that ever happens.
Well, and that's exactly the point. It's the easiest way to expand a program is to put it into an already existing entitlement program. And who doesn't love Social Security? And so that's really, I'm surprised the Democrats haven't jumped on board, because it would be a great way to get a government program going and to expand it. And we're never going to make these people actually pay back those claims. And we're going to extend it to not just parental leave, but all types of family leave. And then what about, there's already a proposal in Congress to use Social Security to repay your student loans. What about buying a home? You know, it's not a social piggy bank.
Yeah. What are some of the other options, though? You mentioned some state-based programs.
There's already, I think, about 8 state-based programs out there. And, you know, they have their own problems, but we should let the states experiment and see what works for them. And those programs are already covering about 30% of individuals. The idea that I like the most is called the Working Families Flexibility Act. This is something Senator Lee has proposed, and all it does is remove a current government impediment. Currently, workers who are under the wage and salary thresholds making about $35,000 a year or less, if they work overtime hours, they are required to receive overtime pay, and they're not allowed to have the choice to instead take overtime paid time off. This is something that state and local workers are allowed to do, but for some reason, the government has a paternalistic view that it shouldn't be allowed for private sector workers. So by just removing that, you know, the average private sector worker could accumulate a couple of weeks of paid leave every year, and that would be really valuable to them, just giving them a choice, and it's not something they have to do.
Yeah, let me guess that I know why that law was put into effect.
This isn't fair.
Because Barack Obama decided that wasn't fair, and instead you've robbed people of being able to build up PTO or paid time off that they could then use if they needed a little extra time at home with the family.
Well, and interesting, the unions are also behind it because they want the workers to receive the wages because they get a portion of those wages. And so the more wages as opposed to paid time off that they get, the more they collect.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also brought up, I know you're not, you didn't pitch this to us, but they also brought up some child care credits is what the president was talking about the other night as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially an advanced loan program. And as I said, I don't think the government should be in the business of loans. But more importantly, with that proposal, I don't think it will end up helping the people that we're trying to reach, who are those lower income workers who tend to have less access to the program. To actually qualify for that credit, you have to amend your previous year's tax returns. That's a complicated process in and of itself. And then you're going to have to wait to get that in. You know, low-income workers will only take that paid leave if it's available immediately. They can't go without a paycheck, and they also can't go with only a partial paycheck. And so the best way for them is really for it to come directly for the employer.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the money wouldn't come around until tax time, right?
You can either get it the next year during tax time, or you can amend your previous year's tax return. But that process is going to take a while no matter what. And who knows if you can even figure, I don't know if I can figure that out.
Yeah, sounds pretty complicated. Listen, Rachel Gressler with Heritage, we appreciate your take on this and a lot of common sense there. I'll direct people to heritage.org to find out more about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Yeah, good discussion there. I'm not quite sure how the government takes. What do we need, another entitlement program? No. Do we need to force private employers to provide this benefit? No. Go work for a different company that provides it. I mean, that companies are having trouble luring employees right now because there are more jobs than there are people to fill them. That would be a great fringe benefit if that's something they want to do. They shouldn't be forced to do it. The government's got no business doing that, in my opinion. All right, I tell you what, coming up, Chris Wallace got the first interview with Mittens Romney. He's going to join us live when we come back.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I believe that the act he took, an effort to corrupt an election, is as destructive an attack on the oath of office and on our Constitution as I can imagine.
You realize this is war. Donald Trump will never forgive you for this.
And we are joined by the man, Chris Wallace of Fox News Sunday right now. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Mark.
Yeah, yes, sir. You've been a little busy the last couple weeks, huh?
Man, and I'm off to New Hampshire tomorrow. No, it's been quite a news cycle between impeachment and the Iowa caucus and now New Hampshire. And we ended up, because Fox was doing the Super Bowl, down in Miami for that, so it's, but if you're a newsman, it's all good.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I loved when you turned into Chris Wallace sports reporter. I watched your bit with all the football guys down there. That was great.
I thought I did. I thought I held my own, and let me tell you, those guys, you know, we're talking about the people on NFL Fox Sunday,
yes.
Howie and Terry and Jimmy and Michael, they are just looking for the slightest little sign of weakness or gap in knowledge so they can hammer you. So, I mean, it's all in good fun, but you got to hold up your end of the bargain.
They were giving Chris a hard time, if you didn't see it, because he looked down at his notes once when he was reciting statistics on some of these players, and they lit into you over that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But if it wasn't that, it would have been something
else.
Listen, it really was fun. The whole thing was fun, and first of all, to the state of Missouri, because I happen to know where the Kansas City Chiefs play. Congratulations. I went to the game on Sunday. It was a great game. That they should hold the Super Bowl in Miami every year. The scene in South Beach is great. The stadium is great. And it was a great game. And Patrick Mahomes, I was rooting and I'm not, you know, kissing up to the home state. I was rooting for Mahomes because I think he's the most exciting, dynamic player in football. And it took him a while, but in the last, 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, he showed it.
Yeah, he did. Yesterday, he was getting some grief here because at the parade, he was pouring beer off the top of a bus into some of his teammates' mouths. And the press over in Kansas City this morning gave him some little bit of grief over that. So they were having a good time, though.
I was going to say, if you can't celebrate a Super Bowl, the first one for the Kansas City Chiefs in, 50 years.
50, yeah.
I think it's all fun. As long as he wasn't driving, or they weren't driving, pouring beer into the mouths of his teammates is fine.
Well, Mahomes is good at driving, that's for sure. We saw that at the end of the game.
Well, there you go.
Chris, you got the exclusive with Mitt Romney. They came to you when he decided to do this, and I loved what you said to him because, it's the truth. They're never going to forgive you for this, for whatever his reasoning was.
No, and he knows that. And, in fact, the president just spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, and the very first thing he said is, I don't like people who use, under the cover of faith,
yes,
to do the wrong thing. And there's that's gentle compared to what's come from his son, Don Jr. And, you know, I have to tell you, they called me and they said he wants to do one television interview and to explain his reasoning. And I sat down with him. And, you know, we started off because I covered him in 2012 and stuff. I've known him for a long time. Before the cameras started rolling, and we were talking about his wife and his kids and all of that. And as soon as we started talking on camera, it got really solemn because he struggled with this decision. Look, I'm sure a lot of your viewer or your listeners disagree and think he did the wrong thing, but I will tell you this was an act of conscience on his part. People can say it's misjudgment, but he really struggled with this, and he fully understood the consequences. And they're going to be severe, not necessarily from his Republican colleagues in the Senate, but you're going to see it from the president. You're going to see it from a lot of Republicans. You're going to see it from a lot of conservative commentators. And, in fact, you've already begun to see it.
Yeah, in his home state, isn't there an effort to be able to change the law so they can recall a sitting senator?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
I read that.
But, look, and I think you have to, whether people agree with it or not, I think you have to give people the courage of their convictions. And there, the one thing that came through to me in this is he was 100% sincere. This wasn't because he hates Trump or, you know, I don't think he likes Trump particularly, but that wasn't what this was about. He read all the evidence. He took his oath to do impartial justice very seriously. He said, I dread it. I really hope they never were going to impeach him because I didn't want to have to make this decision. And then he said through another senator that he went to the White House and said, please send us affidavits from, you know, just sworn affidavits, not testimony, from Mulvaney and Bolton and people like that, you know, so I can maybe find reasonable doubt. He didn't want to do this, at least he says, and I believe him. And but he said that was the only choice he could make that kept faith with his conscience and with his religious faith. And I'm not going to criticize anybody who does that.
Yeah, well, he claims that's his reason. He clearly ought to get out of the kitchen if he can't take the heat, and he knew the heat was coming, so he made his decision with open eyes there. That's for sure.
He says, "I know I'm going to take the heat." He's not saying poor me. So, you know, people are going to bring it, but I'm not saying whether I think what he decided was right or wrong. I do honor the fact that he did it and made the decision that he felt in his heart and mind and soul was the right decision to make.
Chris, I'm sure you were watching the prayer breakfast there this morning. If you saw that comment by the president, I couldn't help but to notice that he also made reference to people who claim that they pray for you and you know it's not the truth. And Nancy Pelosi was sitting about five seats away from him when he said
that. Oh, I didn't know that. I did see the comment. I didn't know that she was sitting next to him. And let me say, you know, as full and open-hearted as I thought Mitt Romney's action was, I thought what went on in the State of the Union on Tuesday night was just horrible, was just the worst of our politics and government. You know, I don't know whether the president snubbed her on the handshake. You know, you look at you consult the videotape, it's like looking at an instant replay in the Super Bowl. I can't tell whether he was looking at her or not, but I certainly do know that, you know, she very consciously and knowing she was going to be on camera ripped up his speech. I think that was the wrong thing to do. I think it was bad form. You know, it's one thing you want to disagree with the president. You want to say afterwards you think he's full of BS. Fine. But, you know, to sit there at an occasion of state, you're the Speaker of the House, and to rip up his speech, I thought it was just wrong.
Yeah, I agree. So now you're off to New Hampshire. Let me play this bite and get your reaction. Cut six, please.
I am not going to sugarcoat it. We took a gut punch in Iowa. The whole process took a gut punch.
Yeah, Joe Biden will come out of Iowa, it looks like, with no delegates. That is definitely a gut punch if you're the presumed front runner for the Democratic nomination.
Yeah, and here's, I think, the real point. It doesn't matter in terms of delegates because there are only 41 delegates. You need almost 2,000 to be get the nomination in Milwaukee in July. But it's momentum and it's fundraising. And for the guy who has been the front runner all along, who is the two-time vice president of the United States, spent, what, I think 36 years or something in the Senate, to finish fourth not second, third, fourth, and a distant fourth, is really an embarrassment. And, you know, if he does fine in New Hampshire, it'll be forgotten. But he doesn't look from the polls that he is going to do fine. And I understand he's going down south then to South Carolina, where with African-American support he should do much better. But this really is going to raise questions about his candidacy. And and the thing that's most important, you know, people don't ever quit because they run out of ambition or ideas. They quit because they run out of money. And, you know, if he doesn't turn this thing around in a hurry, he's going to face a Michael Bloomberg with an unlimited amount of money. He's never going to run out of money on Super Tuesday when 40% of the delegates are chosen in a really weakened state. So I think his campaign is in some trouble after Iowa.
So are you up there for Fox News Sunday?
I'm up there for Fox News Sunday and then through Tuesday for the our special coverage. And you know what we hope? I only hope for one thing, that on election night we actually get some results. We actually get some. I know it's color me crazy. I know it's a kind of foolish hope on my part. What an embarrassment Iowa was. And, you know, to all the candidates that spent weeks and months and millions of dollars, and more importantly, to the people of Iowa who really do take this seriously and really do take their position as the first in the nation vote and you know, want to do right by the candidates, want to do right by the race, this epic failure by the state Democratic Party, they failed, the people and the candidates and the Democratic Party. It was really an embarrassment, and I would not be surprised if that's the last time Iowa leads off the primary process.
Could be. You know, before I let you go, Chris, I couldn't help but note this morning the death of Kirk Douglas. And when I looked up at CBS News earlier, there was a clip of your dad interviewing Kirk Douglas. It must have been back in the 80s sometime. Kirk looked significantly younger then. Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
I did not. I've met Michael a few times. I've never met Kirk, but he and they weren't friends, but they knew each other. And, you know, now that I think about it, Kirk Douglas, they were must have been about the same age, because Kirk Douglas died at the age of 103. And I'm just thinking, doing some math, my father in May would have been 102. So okay. I guess they were contemporaries. And they were both sort of singular features, one of a kind, and tough guys. So it's another tough guy and an admirable guy passing from the scene.
No doubt about it. Chris Wallace, thank you. We'll be tuning in Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep, appreciate that. You can watch Fox News Sunday. He'll be live up in New Hampshire. Of course, they carried it 1 p.m. there on Fox News, and Channel 2 carries it in the mornings as well. Hey, quick break, and we'll get Tom Ackerman in here in a few minutes to talk football. How about that? Mick and company are apparently coming to town, the whole gang, on June 27th. That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
Big deal.
They're back. You know, they had a big tour last year. I kind of thought maybe it was going to be their last one, but they just announced a 15-city tour. St. Louis is on it. They're going to be here June 27th. Boy, that's a close one. I get back from my fishing trip on the 26th at like midnight.
Sounds like
so
a good
week.
So if
I can wrangle a ticket to that thing, I'll get to go. It'll be the next day. I'll be dog tired.
Life is good for Mark.
Telling you. It's going to be fantastic. Life's always good for Tom Ackerman.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
Tom Ackerman, thank you for that insight.
It is Anchorman, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
If we could all just live as long as the Rolling Stones, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would. Sorry I'm late. I was doing a commercial. Got to make that money.
You got to make that cash, baby.
Big deal.
I'm a company man. I have a good Stone story.
Yes.
Ever tell you about, I didn't tell you this.
You told me.
I snuck in a sound check.
No.
So 2004, they're playing the Hollywood Bowl in LA, and I have a friend who is working there and another friend who is with me. We fly out to LA. He takes us into the venue the day of the show and says, hey, why don't you come see my office? And like, you've never been to the Hollywood Bowl. It's awesome. Like, we'll walk up to my office, check it out. And we walk, he's like, we'll just cut through like where the stage is. And we walk, and I notice there's a few people there. We walk up to the stage, and the Stones are on stage, like tuning and like looking at their set list, and I got to look at him for about 5 seconds, and a security guard comes up and he goes, "You guys have to go." And my friend says, "I'm sorry, I work here." And he goes, "I don't care who you are. We control this venue today. You're all out of here." So he says, "Hold on, let me handle this." So my buddy and I stand off to the side. He comes back and says, "Guys, I'm sorry, they're letting me go up to my office to grab something, but you guys have to leave the venue. I'll meet you out in the parking lot, and then we'll, you know, go to lunch and we'll go to the show tonight." And I'm like, okay. So he walks away, and I turn to my friend. I go, "We're going nowhere." So we sneak up to the top of the Hollywood Bowl. We duck behind like this row of hedges, and Stones walk out, start playing Tumbling Dice. We watched a sound check. They played 3 songs. Hollywood sign off in the distance. I turn to him. I'm like, "This is a great day."
And then you got to go see the show on top.
And then
top
we
of
went
it.
To the show that night. Yeah.
That's wow. Awesome.
It was a good day.
Wow.
That is fantastic.
It was
I've
awesome.
Only seen him once. I saw him in Indianapolis, and I was so far from the stage that Mick's voice did not sync up with his lips. I was watching it on the Jumbotron. I mean, honestly, I was that far away. It was in Indianapolis years ago.
So. I saw him at the Dome. One time, which is great. It'll be a great venue for it. They'll do a really good job. Last time I saw a show in the Dome was Taylor Swift. I brought my girls and my wife. We went to the
you're
show.
You're a good dad.
And it was loud, man. I mean, I've been to some loud shows. The Taylor Swift show is one of the loudest concerts I've ever been to. I don't
know
why.
Have you seen Ted Nugent?
I saw Metallica.
Let me tell you. Guns N' Roses at the Dome was loud. That was loud.
Yeah, I think maybe just the Dome itself is just a loud venue.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses was really loud, particularly loud, but I thought it was because they were Guns N' Roses, so maybe it is that venue.
My wife was cowering in the back of the suite with her hands over her ears for Guns N' Roses. She hated that.
I actually went that day, the Taylor Swift show, and looked for earplugs for my youngest, Audrey.
Sure,
because she was like, "Daddy, it's too loud." And so I couldn't find them. Huh. So I pulled an audible. We were in a suite. I went into the bathroom and grabbed some toilet paper and rolled it into.
Shoved it in there.
I rolled and made earplugs. And I put them in. I go, "You okay?" She gave me a thumbs up. I'm like, "We're good."
All right.
The better.
All
right. Yep, that works.
Dad trick. There you go.
So I got a note this morning that I didn't realize that maybe they just haven't done enough publicity for it, but the XFL kicks off this weekend.
The XFL kicks off this weekend in St. Louis, not until February 23rd. So there's still some time.
But you can't see a game this weekend, but you could watch it on ESPN or something.
That is correct.
Like that.
Okay. That's correct. So the first game at the Dome is February 23rd. I am hearing that the ticket sales have been, let's say, robust for St. Louis.
Good.
Like,
good.
Big. So I think they're going to have a huge crowd for their opener. That's good. And this will be, you know, lower bowl. But it'll be good. And I hope it's loud in there. I hope it's loud in the Dome for them. And it's great just to see some football, just to show everybody that St. Louis still loves football, and I think it'll be entertaining.
Have they shortened the field any? I mean, based on what the Rams had down there, will it be a smaller field? Because the indoor football used to be smaller.
That was arena football.
Arena football, I guess is what I'm thinking
of.
This
will still be full size. Okay. They'll change some rules a little bit here and there. You'll see a couple of rules changes. But, no, it's still football, and these are the players that just missed the NFL, and some players who are hopeful to get back into the NFL. So there'll be some recognizable names and some good football, I'm sure, to be had. It's exciting. I think they're not competing with the NFL. I think they just want to be an extension of what people like, which is to watch football and to be around it.
Were you underwhelmed? Do you think it's unfair, some of the criticism KC got for the parade yesterday?
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cold. So I talked to a friend of mine. He said what happened was that a lot of people decided, you know what, forget this. We're going to go into the bars.
Okay.
All along the parade route. And if somebody comes out, you know, that we like, we'll go. I think the photos that you saw were at Union Station at the parade, the rally at the end. I will say this, Travis Kelce, you know, we thought Brett Hull had a good speech. Travis Kelce said, "Hold my beer." Pretty strong. Yeah, you'll have to hear what he did. He let it loose. Make sure you edit it.
Not safe for air.
Before you put it on 97.1 FM
and
talk.
Mahomes sounded kind of hoarse, like he'd been yelling a little bit or something. Yeah.
Yeah, Mahomes. Yeah, he's been.
You think?
I don't know if he's slept yet. So, yeah, pretty cool. No, I'm excited for all the Kansas City fans. And yes, I know that the parade, the I want to give them credit, though. Those fans are great.
And, okay.
You know, it's not like the Blues or the Royals when it was 70 degrees.
We're done. Tom Ackerman, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, KMOX Sports Director, have a great day. Kilmeade's up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.